And welcome to our fourth episode. My name is Ian.
Hi, I'm Shaquille. Thanks for joining us again.
Hey, Shaq, how's things with you?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Not too bad. A little bit warm today.
It's muggy. Muggy as hell.
Yes. Us Brits can't cope with this. So what else has been happening? Anything interesting?
For me, no, nothing really. Busy no with new work and all other sorts of things. Preparing for the podcast.
No new gadgets.
I wish. I wish I could get a 3GS, but, you know, that's
well,
life.
Maybe you don't.
What do you mean I don't?
Well, we'll probably cover that soon.
I don't like these little secrecies that you have.
I don't have any secrets. Oh, none that I want to share with other folk on a podcast anyway.
Fair
so,
enough.
So, let's crack on. iPhone sales, quite surprising. 1 million in 3 days. It's a lot more than I thought. Is that all you've got to say? Impressive.
It is impressive, isn't it?
Well, I guess, considering it costs so much, I guess it is.
Well, you know, like there are people like you that have just got to have the latest gadget, so money is no objection.
No, money is an issue.
Is it? I think there's been quite a significant amount of people who actually did upgrade, despite the heavy sort of cost. But, you know, if that's what they want, fair enough.
Yeah, but over the week, the speed's certainly been noticeable over the week, just doing different bits and pieces. Video's been actually pretty good. I'm actually quite impressed with the quality of recording from it.
Yeah, some of the videos I've seen are comparing the speeds, like, especially browsing the internet. In fact, it was one of your videos I saw as well. Significant speed boost there, definitely.
Yeah, well, hopefully I'll have those videos up for, by the time this podcast's out, there'll be a kind of short review on our website.
Excellent. Look forward to that.
I'll highlight the speed differences and also I'll put down some little niggles over the week. Mm-hmm. Nothing big. But just, you know, you just reflecting back on spending so much money and what you've maybe still not got.
Have you had any issues with any of the apps or games, maybe not working with 3GS or not working as well?
Not that I can think of. There's been updates every day. And from what I'm reading, there's a backlog with Apple, applications that are still to be, you know, released.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm still on 3G, but I upgraded to OS 3.
Yeah.
And I've had some issues with this, and I'm not sure whether it's just me or other people have noticed the same things. Some of the apps, when I turn the iPhone on, the icons, they're like icons for other apps. Like, for example, if I have, Peggle, for example, the game, and all of a sudden Peggle's icon will be an icon for another game.
Does the name change as well?
I can't remember now whether the name changes. I don't think it does, but the icon is certainly not the right icon. So the only way to get it back is uninstall the app, reinstall it.
Oh, that's nasty.
But recently it's gotten even worse. The icon just disappears and you just got a grey placeholder instead. So there's like nothing there except for the name of the app at the bottom of the icon.
Oh, I've not seen that at all.
No, I've noticed that, and it's definitely OS 3. I'm pretty sure if I've never had this problem before.
The only issue I've had, which is, well, maybe it's not similar, within iTunes, the podcast album art gets confused. So you see different album art for different podcasts.
Oh, I see, okay.
But I know it sounds similar to what you're saying about the, you know, different icons for the applications.
Yeah.
But it's pretty nasty. You need to uninstall to fix it.
Yeah, I mean, I downloaded that iFighter because it now is available as a proper game.
Yeah.
And right away, as soon as it downloaded, while it was downloading, I had the proper icon.
Yeah.
But when it finished, it just switched to a grey placeholder.
And
I had to, like, sync the iPhone, uncheck the app, and then check it back, and then it was okay. So, kind of annoying.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if eventually 3's been like a rush release or not. I mean, there's certainly been other issues reported online. mean, I found the battery life on the 3G just seemed to be less with version 3 than it did with 2.1 or whatever it was before.
Has the battery life improved over the days, or is it still the same?
Well, for me, in 3GS, the battery's been pretty good. I actually think it is slightly better. So I was out for a hill walk last weekend. It certainly lasted longer than previous ones. So, yeah, I mean, I've been fairly pleased with it.
Well, but I was reading about YouTube. Their mobile uploads increased by 400% after the launch of 3GS.
I'm not surprised, because they've made it really easy to do. You know, so I've posted a video. It's on my own account, and I was out in the back garden just trying out the video, and there was a squirrel running along the fence, and then it ran up the building, and just having the video there, took a quick video, trimmed it down, uploaded to YouTube.
It didn't run out your leg then?
No. Thank goodness.
No, I saw that. I don't think I saw that video, but it was another one you posted, and to be honest with you, quality I was quite impressed with, considering it's a mobile phone.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite smooth. Mm. And as usual, they've just made it dead easy to do.
I think that's the thing, you know, like people say, well, there have been mobile phones with video cameras available for years. Mm. But I think the whole thing with, again, going back, being a sort of a bit of an Apple fanboy. it's just like everything else, they make things so easy and more appealing to use.
Yeah.
So it's not a surprise.
No, definitely.
One thing I read about recently, really, really surprising, and I don't know whether it's 100% true or not, the 3GS uses a more powerful PowerVR SGX chip. And, okay, this is a bit of a geeky sort of technology bit of information for you. Apparently, yeah, the 3G uses version 520 of the same chip. And the Pre uses 530 and the 3GS uses 535. Now, the difference between all these chips are that the 3G can apparently display up to 7 million polygons. Why have you got that strange grin on your face?
I'm just thinking back to a couple of hours ago and here comes the science bit. You've stepped into that role yet again. It's fantastic. Okay.
And then Palm Pre, which uses a 530, that can display up to 14 million polygons. If the rumours are true and they've been backed up by a few of the technicians and stuff, the 3GS uses the 535 chip and that can display up to 28 million polygons. That's a huge jump over a 3G phone.
Yeah. When there was I don't know if you saw, there was a developer video and he's using OpenGL.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's done a... it's like a comparison between 3G and 3GS.
Mm-hmm.
And it was four times the frame rate he could get on his demo, so he was getting something, I'm sure it was 7 frames against 28 frames on the 3GS.
So I mean, when you say like 4 times better, it doesn't sound like much, but when you then say 7 and 28 and think, that's a huge jump, you know.
And I think it'll be interesting, because one of the advantages the iPhone had up to now is it's just been one platform, so whether it's been the iPod Touch or the iPhone, you're developing for the same app. Mm-hmm. Sorry, developing for the same platform, but not anymore, really.
Okay, one other issue, I think, before we wrap up iPhone, that I've had on the 3G since the OS 3. A couple of my apps just don't work. They don't load up. I can't remember one of them, but the other one of them that really does annoy me is who's got the biggest brain.
Ah, an update came out for that yesterday?
Yeah. No, it was I think I got it a couple of days ago, it came out.
Ah, okay.
And it said fixed for OS 3. Yeah. Downloaded it, same thing. You launch it, you get the logo of the company, Playfish.
Yep.
And then 2 seconds later, it just quits out back to the homepage. And I looked at some of the comments on their app, you know, the reviews, and everybody's just complaining, saying, you know, pull your finger out, just fix it already. So.
Well, that's a shame, because mine works.
Yeah, because I noticed you beat my score.
So, and I hadn't played it for ages, and just when it said the new one was out, and I tried it, and it worked well. But I know there's Tweety's still waiting for. I mean, the developer of Tweety put an update 2 weeks ago now, and it's still not been approved. And that's to fix the, if you try and search on Tweety, or if you try and look any of the trends, it just fails. And we're still waiting. Which is a bit of a shame because there's lots of tweets to the guy saying, you know, get your finger out and, you know, as a developer, you should have fixed this by now, and there's plenty of other options out there. I'm going to move platform, but it's, I mean, he's done all he can. It's now in the hands of Apple. I think that's the worst thing about the App Store. You really seem to be, I don't know, just not in control at all.
Yeah.
So moving on, and I guess keeping with phones, there's a few rumours again about Sony doing a phone or / PSP.
Yeah.
Would you buy it?
No.
No, I never would. I mean, there's...
it's just one of these things, isn't it? I mean, Sony, obviously they're going to promote the PSP side of it. So is it going to be designed like the PSP and then they're just going to add phone functionality to it? If they are, then it's just never going to work. I think, you know, people in the past have tried this, where they've tried to build a console and build a phone around it. And
we had that Nokia, was it Engage?
Engage, yeah.
I think
Apple, despite, you know, their shortcomings, they got it right. They designed the phone first, you know, put it out there, got enough support for it. And then at the same time, they had the foresight to add a good sort of graphic chip on it so that developers could add games. But I think what really kick-started the whole thing was apps, wasn't it? It wasn't just games.
Yeah.
And now that it's just some of the games that are coming out are incredible.
Yeah. Well, you know, for me, I never bought the original iPhone. I just didn't. I loved the device, but I wanted, you know, the apps for it. And as soon as they said the App Store was coming out, I was sold.
Yeah.
And I mean, to be fair to Sony, if they brought it out, it's a big name. And I mean, I used to love Sony Ericsson phones before I moved to Apple. That was I thought their phones were far better than Nokia phones.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it'll be interesting. I'm sure it'll have an App Store. They've
obviously got a back catalogue of games that they can instantly bring out.
Yeah.
But games on their own won't be enough. They'll need some decent apps as well. But again, you know, it's like, I think they need to build it around the phone rather than build the phone around the PSP. That's my opinion anyway.
No, I think it's a good point. Also, the other bit I don't get is how they're going to have the current PSP, the 3000, then you've got PSP Go, and then there's all these rumours around a phone coming out. And it just doesn't, from a platform point of view, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And even the PSP Go, I mean, the price of it in the UK, is it $270? Well, I can go and get a PSP 3000 for 100 quid.
Yeah, I think what I read was in the US, the PSP Go is $230.
Mm.
And in the UK, you'd expect something like $150, $170. No, it's the same, same digits, but with pound added at front. So it's 230 quid. It's ridiculous.
It's a lot of money. There was an article through the week that said a lot of the UK stores, they've got zero pre-orders. People are not interested.
Yeah, it's a shame because, you know, Sony have been one of these defining companies during the 80s and 90s. Anything they did was like gold. You know, all the Walkmans, fantastic, any video equipment. And I don't know what it is. Have they just gone a bit lazy, maybe? Recently, they've just been not...
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's like they've obviously... The Blu-ray is massive for them. You know, it's a big...
That was a close call. I mean, they could have easily failed that in HD DVD. Yeah. You could have won.
And I think their LCD tellies at the moment are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think on that side, it's all looking really good. PS3, yeah. I think, is coming on strong this year. I think it's got a really good lineup.
Mm.
But I don't know. I just
Have you seen that video of Gran Turismo 5, the latest one? Which shows vehicle damage and WRC.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible looking.
Yeah, but again, a little doubt in my head because I can't remember if it was Gran Turismo 4 or 2 and they put out a video and the actual game when it came out was just nothing. Well, it wasn't nothing like it, but it just wasn't, you know, the same. But where's the release date? They've just been talking about that game for so long.
It's like another Duke Nukem.
Well, it's just that, I mean, in fact, I think they've added damage, which is good. Because people have been asking that since the first one, never mind like recent times. But and I'm sure, I mean, some of the licenses they've picked up for it are excellent.
I think one of the differences as well is they've got proper WRC and NASCAR racing modes instead of just having like a couple of tracks that are rally tracks. So you've got a proper mode now. So, I mean, if they deliver everything they're promising, it could be huge.
Definitely. So, moving on, you were, you've mentioned MacBook Air.
Yeah, just came across a couple of articles where people have tested a new MacBook Air, and they said even though the new model has higher clock speed, it's still performing slower than the old one, which is kind of weird. So,
but it is cheaper.
Yeah. Do you want it?
No. Well, I would, if I was going to buy a laptop...
What do you mean? If you're planning on buying a laptop?
If I was going to buy a laptop, I still can't see buy a MacBook Pro. And if I was wanting something thin and portable, I would pick up a one of these 200 quid, 300 quid netbooks. I don't see the point of spending. Is it still like 1,500, 1,800 quid? Just seems a lot of money.
It's lovely though, isn't it?
But it's a lot of money.
I know.
I just wouldn't pay that.
I think if you're one of these flashy IT consultants that travels quite a lot, then might be useful.
I don't know.
It's good for the image.
I'm not even convinced by that. I don't know. I just think over time, I think I've become, I don't know, more skeptical about. Thanks for that. But I look at the Air and just think other things have overtaken it now.
Yeah.
If you want small and light, you would buy a netbook and you would buy it for like 300-400 quid. And if you want a laptop with power, you're not going to look at an Air at all.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of computers, Windows 7 prices. And we touched on this a couple of weeks ago about Windows 7 and just the European Union and they've forced Microsoft to take out the browser. But this has now impacted the price. So the UK price is going to be £80 on launch, which doesn't sound too bad.
£80 for which version is that?
Well, I'll just because Microsoft, because European Union have said to Microsoft you need to take the browser out.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft are saying there's no upgrade available in the UK. You will buy a new Windows 7, so that's basically for everybody. You will pay £80.
Oh, you mean upgrade from Vista? You just have to buy a brand new
or
OS.
XP. Yep.
Okay. Yep.
Now, it sounds not too bad when you hear £80. But then you realise they've actually got deals in America right now where you can get it for
$50. $50?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I just think, yet again, they're missing a trick. You know, this was a chance. You're looking at Snow Leopard, and fair enough, I think Snow Leopard's a smaller upgrade on, certainly if you go on features and looks, it's a smaller upgrade compared to Windows 7, whereas I think Snow Leopard's under the hood got a lot more.
Yeah.
But I think the price in Apple... I've put for Snow Leopard to spot on.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It just looks like, again, shooting yourself in the foot. And I still don't know how they're going to deal with, here's Windows 7 and there's no browser. And the Microsoft spokesman said, well, a lot of people will be buying new computers instead of just buying Windows 7, which I just don't agree with. It sounds like a cop-out, and they know they're in a bit of a... They've got a bit of an issue how they get the average Joe user sticking on a browser. I mean, they've talked about it as well. Oh, most people are going to get a USB stick and put on the browser of their choice. How? It's just, I don't know. For a lot of people, they just don't get things like this.
No.
They just want to use a browser, and that's it.
Speaking
of browsers.
Yeah.
Oh, no, go on.
No, carry on.
I was just going to say, I tried Safari 4, because the Safari upgrade came out a few weeks ago, and I've been having real issues with it. it is a lot quicker, but I just find it's quite crashy.
Really?
It's crashed on me. If I'm using it daily, it'll crash on me at least once a day.
When you're doing anything specific, or
no, just different random things. And I know people will say, "Oh, it's a plugin or something like that," but I just find it really buggy. Things like Google Reader, I've been Google Reader going through some feeds, and it'll just fail to actually connect and pick up. If I close a tab down and open up another tab with Google Reader, it then works. I can't connect to my router with it. There's just so many little things.
I mean, I must say I haven't really had any issues with it. So,
the only thing that's really hacked me off is I thought it was maybe just like it was just the iMac, but I've been trying it in the MacBook Pro as well, and it's the same. So it must just be me. I don't know what it is. It's just been quite annoying. And there's little things like if I shut it down, it doesn't remember my tabs that are open. Which really And again, it's a me thing. I like to, if I shut it down and I've got four or five tabs open, Firefox will remember them and open them back up next time, which I find quite handy.
Yeah.
So I've been trying out Saft. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No.
And it's basically a plugin. And it's not this plugin that's causing the crashes, because I've only just tried it in the last couple of days. And Saft gives you a whole load of extra options in Safari. So pop-up blockers, advert blockers, a whole load of other things. But also it remembers your last open tabs.
Have you got any other plugins you're using at the moment for Safari? Maybe that's one of them.
The only one I've
it?
Got is Xmarx, which runs externally.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's anything there that should cause it. I mean, the other problem I had was the on both both machines, I couldn't customize my toolbar. So if I wanted to add the home button, or one of them was missing the 1Password button. So I guess 1Password's in there, Nevernote's in there, so they're extensions I've got in.
Yeah.
But I would add the button in, shut Safari down, open it up, and it wouldn't remember. So I had to actually go into the preferences. So home folder, library, preferences. I deleted my Safari plist file, and then it was like a brand new install again, and it's worked from there. So I don't know if it was just the upgrade itself that I had problems with.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, but have you tried the new Firefox 3.5?
Not on a Mac, no, I don't. I have it installed, but I don't really use it.
Well, Release Candidate 3 came out, and it's been working quite well, and the rumours are that this week the actual final version will be released. And it's got a lot of nice new features. You know, improved speed, it supports HTML5, so that means we'll have videos without plugins, location-aware browsing, private browsing mode, so you can, I'll mention it again for the fourth week one, you can look for your porn without leaving any trails behind.
Have so all these things this? Are...
No. You can tear off tabs as well. So if you use Google Chrome, you can tear off tabs into other windows.
Oh, right,
so
okay.
you can kind of do the same with Firefox. You can tear them off into another Firefox window. So quite a nice set of upgrades in there. And it's, for me so far, it's been more stable, 3.5 than and Firefox. I'm saying Safari crashes a lot. Firefox on the Mac is crash-tastic.
Mm.
Isn't good, we're slagging off Mac stuff.
I'll keep the Microsoft fanboys happy.
Yes. So I guess the big news this week.
Yeah.
It's poor old Michael Jackson.
Why are you laughing at that?
I think that's
a real shame. He's an incredible performer. Fair enough, he's not done anything, you know, worthwhile recently, but I think behind the scenes he's been quite busy. He writes a lot of songs for other artists, so I'm sure he'll be missed by a lot of people. I know you've never been a really good big fan.
His music's superb. Can't doubt his music. It's just what he does with kids that bothers me. But anyway.
But well, we don't know whether that's true or not, but anyway, yeah, so he's obviously died. Yeah. And
out of court settlements, that says it all.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But it fairly big impact on, I mean, Twitter, obviously, I mean, every tweet on, was it Thursday night?
Mm-hmm.
Every tweet was just Michael Jackson.
Yep,
and Facebook spiked, Twitter spiked, Google thought it was under attack.
By the Taliban, I guess.
And the only thing, I mean, it just sums up again, it's how the social media sites, news is just reported on there so quickly now.
Yeah.
You know, compared to BBC, Sky, and other traditional media sites.
I think, you know, like some people say, some people don't get Twitter. Some people say, I prefer Facebook to Twitter, and what's the difference? Why should I use Twitter? I guess times like these, Twitter, you know, shows you what Twitter is all about. You have on your phone, you just pick up your phone instantly, you put up a little tweet and that's it. Yep. Facebook, you have to go and log in, and Facebook is more about you, isn't it? You're writing your own sort of, oh, I'm bored or I'm doing this. It's not really a...
I still think Facebook is more sharing photos and let's meet up for whatever.
Yeah, it's more of like close friends sort of thing rather than just sharing, you know, information with the public.
Yep.
So yeah, it's incredible sort of amount of feedback there.
Yeah, and I guess the only thing you need to watch is like, well, I guess there's two things that I've highlighted. So on the same night, there was loads of stuff about Jeff Goldblum had died as well. So there was a whole lot of tweets, which, and it was just all bollocks. But because so many people were reporting it, you know, people were taking it as true.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, here's another guy dead. And it's, I guess it's the same for the, when all the stuff around Iran and protests.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, part of me doesn't know what to believe anymore. I mean, most of the, if you look at most of the people tweeting and the hashtags on it, I'd love to see how many were coming from UK and America.
Mm-hmm.
And it was people saying, you know, let's all tweet about this.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it?
And how many people?
Everybody the power to report or write their own newspapers and stuff, soon you're going to just get a lot of, you know, people's own opinions and views, and you won't get the actual real news. And that is a danger there.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the problem. You know, it's like BBC are using some videos that are from Twitter and Facebook and YouTube. Which is fair enough because their own reporters have been sent out of Iran, but it's how do you validate? How do you get both sides of the story? And or it seems to be there's one side getting reported more than the other.
Yeah.
But still, it was. I don't know. I still like being kind of plugged into these things. You know, just well, it's just the way you're on Twitter. You can look at trends.
I'm gonna call you Neo from now on.
Oh, that's fine. I can cope with that. but I just love seeing like trends and just being able to, and fair enough, quite a few of them are crap.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, for gimmicks or whatever. But, you know, when there is something happening, you're on top of that news straight away.
I mean, I must say from my own point of view, I think there was a time where I loved to be plugged into everything. But recently I know I like to just take a step back and have my own, you know, bit of space. Because you just sometimes it's just too much to, you know, handle.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I'll go through phases where I do sort of like, I want to know everything about everything, and then I think, oh, leave me alone.
But it's the same
as
on Twitter.
Michael Jackson would say.
Won't be seeing it anymore.
You bastard. Some people have no respect for the dead.
Well, I'll probably get more respect from now that he's dead than I did when he was alive. and it's, as I said, I'm happy, great musician.
You're happy he's dead.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Well, in some ways, remember him for the good stuff. Remember him from the 80s. You know, an impact he had, massive.
Okay, Quincy.
Quincy
Jones.
Yeah, yeah. As long as it's not Quincy MD or whatever it was. You don't remember that. Anyway, I do, unfortunately. So, another little phone story what I want to throw in. HTC Hero. So this is an Android phone. I don't know if you've seen it.
No.
It looks really odd. It's actually curved.
Aren't most Android phones have a little bit of a curve at the bottom?
Yeah,
or is this curved all the way?
This is curved on the back. And it looks a bit odd. And it's a touch device,
mm-hmm.
but with loads of buttons as well, but not a keyboard. So it's got five or six buttons at the bottom of it.
So I thought Android phones had to have a keyboard.
No. No. And what's interesting is HTC have actually got their own, I guess, their own user interface on top of Android, and they've called it Sense. So it's the first multi-touch Android phone. If you look at the video demos, they look really nice. But I don't know. I can see it being a rival to iPhone, but I still can't see it getting anywhere close. The only thing that's nice about this is on the back, it's made out of Teflon. Well, they've got a Teflon coating.
Right.
So the people that have used it are saying it feels really polished product compared to the iPhone even. You know, it actually feels a better phone in the hand mm-hmm. than the pictures would say. Oh, and it has flash support.
Do you want to say that last bit that you've got on your notes there?
No.
Okay. Something I came across earlier this week as well. We mentioned Spotify before, obviously.
Yep.
Apparently, they're now planning on introducing, because, you know, like, currently their music is at around 160 kbps, I think, which is, you know, reasonable quality.
Well, I've never had an issue really listening to it. I've never noticed it being good or bad.
It's good enough, isn't it? It's good enough to listen to, but it's not it's not as good as like your CDs or stuff you would rip yourself. So anyway, what they're planning on doing now is introducing 320 kbps org forwards streaming for subscribed users. Okay. So obviously, free users will still get the standard 160k. But if you subscribe, you'll get like a lot more higher quality. Basically, it's as good as anything you would probably rip yourself, bar being lossless, I guess. And you know what? I think this could be something in there as far as the business model goes. That could
Would you buy it?
I think so, yeah. I would need to listen to it just to make sure that it's, you know, good
quality. You'd pay £10 a month for this?
Yeah, because the music, I think...
You lie.
Well, you have everything there, don't you? They've got to have, obviously, all the music that I want to listen to. If they don't have it, then, yeah, I won't pay it. But, yeah, I think this is quite good.
And you'd be happy. What would you do? Would you just stream? You'd never actually want to own it? Or would you rip it?
Well, the fact that, you know, it's there all the time, would there be any need to own it anymore?
I'm on the iPhone. How do I listen to it?
Well, that's the thing. Okay, maybe get a few things clear. You know, they'll obviously have to have it on the iPhone and any other device that.
And they have talked about an iPhone app, and people have seen demos and saying it's fantastic. And again, it's for premium users only.
So, I mean, there you go. Yeah, if can get all of that working properly, and then say, for example, if I sell my iPhone in the future and get something else, I want to be able to access that music on that new device. So, if I can get all these sort of, like, little issues out of the way, I would pay for a business model where I get really good quality music to listen to.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Fair enough. I look forward to hearing how you got on with that new product in a couple of months' time. Yeah. You won't buy this.
Yes, I will.
You won't.
I'm guaranteed gonna argue you won't. With you.
I know you won't buy it.
Anyway,
there you go. Episode 4, and we fell out.
No, we're not quite there yet.
That'll be after.
Yeah, a few.
I think
cookies.
It's Michael Jackson's fault.
Yeah, it is.
So some cookies to rattle through, I think.
Yep.
Zune HD.
Mm-hmm.
1632 gig September. Interested?
Nah.
Nah.
I would actually like to see what it does, because the tech specs sound quite promising.
Mm.
But again, you know, we can have the best hardware in the world. If the software side isn't there, it's not going to work for me.
No, the specs look really good, but it's never been out in the UK.
I can't remember now if that was just a rumour or not. Is it supposed to have an OLED screen?
No, it does.
It does?
Yeah. And I know the people that have used it say it's gorgeous. And in fact, the very few folk in the States that actually use it say it's a really good device. I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
But I'll take their word for it.
Okay. Next topic. Tekken 6 wireless arcade joysticks. And I know you bought a Street Fighter 4 one.
Yep.
It wasn't wireless, though, was it?
No, it's wired. It's wired. A bit of a pain.
Yeah, it's by the same company, I think, Hori.
Yeah.
And it's $150. I would like to get it just for the, you know, the nostalgic factor of having an arcade joystick. But
yeah, that's the only reason I bought one. It was.
Have you used it?
Yeah. Not often. I'll be honest, not often, but I have used it.
Okay.
I'm waiting for you to come online so you can kick my ass.
So it's nice of you to admit that I can kick your ass in Street Fighter.
Yeah. Following on from E3, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago, there was the Critics Awards.
Yeah.
So Uncharted 2 was the best of show. Really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it. You also got there's some new stuff coming to the PSN store that you've picked up on.
Yeah, I mean, one of them's already out there, the Final Fantasy VII from the original PlayStation. which I absolutely love to pieces. That's out on the PSN right now. I think it's about $7.99. So not a bad price, but I haven't downloaded it yet because I just don't think I'll play it again. But if you're a huge fan, then yeah, it might be worth downloading. Ian doesn't like RPGs.
Oh, no, I like RPG. I just don't like... Final Fantasy's just been... I don't know, it's just a total turn-off for me. Just feels like you're just... I don't know, it just feels like you just press the button, move on, press the button, move on, press the button, move on. Hey, done. Anyway.
Obviously, you're mistaken, but yeah, that's not what it's about. Next one, the original Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy 1, will be coming out as well. Again, if you're a huge fan. If you can see Ian, he's sitting here shaking his head, just with his eyes closed.
Yes. Just, I don't know, what's the world coming to?
What's next?
For me, I don't know. Oh, Worms 2 is coming to Xbox Live Arcade this Wednesday. So, it's no great surprise that Shaky was now sitting with his eyes closed, shaking his head. I know what I'd rather buy.
Another good game that caught my eye. I seem to recognise the name, but I'm not sure if it's a brand new game or if it's an old game. Zen Pinball is coming out as well. For some reason, I've got coming in May.
Yeah, I noticed that as well.
Anyway, Zen Pinball looks quite good. It's not out yet. I'm sure it's not May. It's probably supposed to be August or something like that.
Oh, maybe it is out.
Is it?
I have no idea. Last time I switched my PS3 on was about 2 months ago.
No, I don't think so. I don't think it is. And lastly, as far as PlayStation's concerned, there's a new firmware update coming out. But again, there's nothing special. Yeah, there, just a few tweaks. Out. When did that come out?
It was out this week.
Oh, okay, well, I must have added that in the beginning of the week.
Fingers on the pulse. So, let's move on to some picks. Yep. I'll let you go first.
My pick for this week is Dropbox.
Ah, good old Dropbox. So, take us through what you get. Well, if you can speak, that is, take us through how you use Dropbox.
Well, you register with the website first, and you get 2 gigabytes to use for free.
Okay.
On the Mac, certainly, you install it on your machine, and it sort of gets added to your Finder as a special folder. And what I love about it is just seamless integration with your Finder. It's like you just drag and drop a file into it, and then you get a little... It's almost like a little...
sync?
No, I'm trying... You know that little icon that just sits there on top of your regular folder icon? So it tells you that it's syncing.
Yep.
And then that's it. You know, you can forget all about it. Once it's synced, you know, you're ready to use. And what's really nice, I guess, another thing is you can share certain folders with your friends. So it's, I find it really useful to drag and drop, you know, like certain files that I want to... Whereas before, I would have probably emailed them to somebody or put them on a USB stick and then turn it over. But now it's... I just right-click on the folder, get the public URL for it, and then email that to somebody instead, and they can download the file without me being involved.
Yeah, so, yeah. That is really good.
I think the only nice thing... the only thing I would like is maybe a bit more storage space, but you have to buy that. Or if you... I think if you refer people, you can get additional...
I think for every user you refer, you get an extra 250 meg.
Right, yep.
Up to, I think there's a maximum of up to 3 gig extra.
Okay.
And also, if you were beta testing it, you got 3 gig as well. So I was beta testing it, so I've got 5 gig. me.
So what have you got?
In Dropbox?
No, picks-wise.
Well, I just wanted to say one other thing about Dropbox.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually used it instead of the iDisk, so instead of MobileMe. And I'm using it now to synchronise application settings between the iMac and the MacBook Pro. So that works quite well. So you can set up an alias Within the normal within your normal library folders,
mm-hmm.
point it to the Dropbox folder that you've got your settings in, and then both machines can share those settings.
Might be worth you doing a little tutorial for that and sticking it on the website.
Yeah, maybe. There's probably quite a few things around Dropbox actually that we could maybe do our first one on.
Yep, I mean it's definitely a really really useful service, so encourage everybody to maybe have a look at it.
Yeah, definitely. My pick this week, and it's one for Mac users only. It's an application called XLD, and I've only stumbled across this week, and it's a lossless audio decoder. So one of the problems I've always had is finding a good audio decoder on the Mac that would handle FLAX or a WAV file and turn it into a format of my choosing. This free download, it's got a nice simple GUI on it, and it works really quickly. Now, I would love to mention the link to the website, but it's quite long-winded, so I'll put it in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
Used it 3-4 times this week already, and it's been fantastic.
So when you drop your FLAC or any other lossless file onto it, do you get an option to then convert it to MP3? Is it VBR or is it CBR?
It's in the settings. So in your settings beforehand, you pick what options you want,
mm-hmm.
and then you pick the files to convert, and it converts them. And it does it very quickly compared to a couple other decoders that I've used before.
Okay, sounds good. Might give it a try.
Definitely. So I'll put the link in the show notes. And that's us. Episode 4, done and dusted.
Oh, that's pretty quick. Time flies when you're having fun.
Indeed. So where do you find us? On the web, www.digitaloutbox.com, and you can email us at info@digitaloutbox.com, and we're on Twitter, follow Digital Outbox.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you with any comments or any suggestions, anything we can improve on, anything you'd like us to cover, maybe like a little tutorial about anything really, Mac-related, PC-related, or hi-fi-related. We have a lot of experience in hi-fis and audio-video equipment as well. Love to hear from you. Get in touch.
We could just do a podcast just about how much money you've spent on your your home cinema gear.
All worth it, my friend. All worth it.
So, if we want to find out more about you, Shaquille, where can we find
Shaquille.
You? Shaquille.
You can find me on my personal blog. It's ShaquilleNaim.com. You can find me on Facebook as well. Again, facebook.com/ShaquilleNaim. On Twitter, you can find me at ShaqN. Oh, and if you fancy seeing any of my photography skills, you can see me on Flickr. My username is Shaka_, I think. I don't know why they put underscore in, but yeah. There you go. What about you?
My blog is END.net, and I'm on Twitter as Shweepa, SHWEEPA.
Shweepa.
Yeah.
Are you on Facebook?
Yeah, but I can't be bothered giving that out. I never use it.
It's facebook.com/Ian Dick.
Yeah, but the only time I really use it is like when I'm posting up a game or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Still, Twitter. You never know. People might be interested.
Yeah.
So, that's us. End of the show.
Yep. We've all gone quiet. So, thanks for listening. And catch you again soon. Cheers. Bye now.
Goodbye.
Barat. The barat. The barat.